Two verses today as we continue our meditations through the 145th Psalm. I'll be reading verses 8 and 9. Psalm 145, verses 8 and 9. The living and active and very sharp and clear word of the Lord. The Lord is gracious and full of mercy, slow to anger and great in loving kindness. The Lord is good to all, and His tender mercies are over all His works. Join me in prayer. Heavenly Father, we ask that by Your Holy Spirit, You open our eyes and bore out our ears so that we may see and hear Your clear word. You have made Yourself known, and we often hide. You have made Yourself known with clarity so that we are without excuse. Not just us, but all. We praise You now for Your mercies, and we ask that You inflame our hearts to reflect Your mercies. For we bear Your name, and we long to do so honorably. We pray this in the matchless name of Jesus, and all of God's people said, Amen. You may be seated. The kindness of the Lord is provided like the sunshine or the rain. The kindness of the Lord is provided like the sunshine or the rain. It is given to everyone. The Lord's kindness is given to everyone. No one can say that the Lord has not been kind to me. The kindness of the Lord is given, just like the sunshine or the rain, and is given to those who see that the Lord is the giver of the sunshine and the rain. Those of us who see that the Lord is the one who gave it. It's given to us. The sunshine and the rain are also given for those who think that it's just a matter of the atmosphere, the clouds, the climate, or chance. It's given for them as well. The Lord makes Himself known through abundant kindness. And this abundant kindness is supposed to be recognized. And when recognized, it's supposed to result in a response of praise. Still, some receive this very same kindness and ignore the Lord, the giver of such kindness. Yet they're still receiving it. Psalm 145 leads us to the kindness of the Lord, and it does so with various and related terms. Terms such as gracious, full of compassion or full of mercy, merciful, slow to anger, great in mercy or great in loving kindness. And the Lord's tender mercies are over all of His works. All of His works. Our Lord Jesus Christ said that His Heavenly Father makes His Son rise on the evil and the good. It's His Son. And He makes it rise on the evil and the good. Jesus said that His Heavenly Father, our Heavenly Father, also sends rain on the just and the unjust. While they were a young couple enjoying a day at the beach, enjoying some time in the sun, they both fell asleep. Some children were down by the shore making sandcastles. The Lord caused the sun to rise upon those children and upon that newly married couple. But while they were asleep, some other people came by and stole her purse and his wallet. The sun was shining upon those thieves as well. The sun shone upon those enjoying the wonders of God's creation, And it shone upon those who thought it right to steal from someone else. There's a bus stop just down the road, and it was a rainy day, and there was a doctor who prides himself in performing abortions. At the same bus stop was a physician who used her hands to care and to give mercy and to heal. The rain was falling upon both. Our Lord makes His sun to rise on the evil and the good, and He sends rain on the just and the unjust. Psalm 145 exalts our Lord's amazing goodness, His wondrous care, and this goodness is both personal and particular. Our Lord's goodness and His care is not vague, it is not distant, it is right here where we live and move and have our being. The first seven verses of this 145th Psalm have us praise the Lord for who He is, and that we are supposed to extol His name every day, each day all the way to eternity. These two verses have us praise the Lord for what He has done for us and for others. Our Lord is so kind, He allows the sun to shine and to give sunburns to those who hate Him. Our Lord is so kind, He provides that very same rain for people that would kill as well as plant a garden. The Lord's greatness and His deeds are connected, and there will be a reckoning. All things will be made clear. Who the Lord is and what the Lord does are inseparable, and they are worthy of praise. Our Lord makes Himself known through His works, His identity, and His activity are connected. The Lord's greatness is unsurpassed. Verse 3 of this particular psalm says that the Lord's greatness is unsearchable. And in this unsearchable greatness, there is goodness. Goodness. And we found in verse 7 a couple of weeks ago that generation after generation will do what? They will utter the memory of God's great goodness. Part of His greatness is seen in His goodness. His goodness is great. And they shall also sing of His righteousness. Some in our day are considered great, but they are not good. Our Lord is both great and good. God's greatness is coupled with His goodness. By the way, if it was just raw greatness, raw power and might, we would be crushed. Our Lord's greatness and His goodness is shown to be a merciful goodness. If the Lord did not show Himself as merciful, we would all be crushed. Mercy. What is mercy? Kindness, compassion, given to the needy. It's a tender care for those who cannot pay for it. One theologian, Herman Bavinck, said that mercy is God's goodness toward those who are in misery. God's goodness toward those who are in misery. One of the Hebrew words for mercy is rechem. Rechem. It's used twice in our passage today. That particular Hebrew word is used twice. That word rechem can be translated as mercy. And you know, it's also translated as womb. Womb. Or bowels. Rechem. Within. Mercy. It is that which is deep, inner, inseparable from the one who possesses it. Just like our dear expectant mothers within, inseparable. Rechem. It is as if God has, dare we say, emotions or feelings for his creatures. God shows forth mercy. He is merciful. Mercy. It involves a withholding of wrath, a suspension or a delay in righteous judgment. Mercy is gloriously seen in forgiveness. So much so that there was a mercy seat on the Ark of the Covenant. Verse 8 shows us something of the vast, glorious goodness and kindness of our God. Verse 8, the Lord is gracious and full of mercy. He is merciful, slow to anger and great in steadfast love, great in loving kindness. What a striking contrast between the Lord and us. Between the Lord and me? The Lord is this way. We are not. The Lord is full of compassion to those who are weak and those who are lame. He is not ignorant of their offenses. Nor is our Lord harsh because of those offenses. Our Lord has applied His grace and His mercy, His rechem, to each of us and our offenses. Bless you. This grace and mercy is seen in that the Lord does not blast each of us for each one of our sins, imperfections, failings, sinful thoughts. This mercy is seen in that our Lord is slow to anger. He is slow to anger even for those who deny His grace and receive the sunshine and receive the rain. He is slow to anger. The old term was long-suffering. Long-suffering. How long has the Lord endured with patience your refusals, your rejections, your rebellions? How vastly different is our Lord from us? From us in our parenting. Where's the mercy? Are we slow to anger? How vastly different is our Lord from us in our marriages? Even when we'll show a kindness, we'll do it not because of mercy, but in order to show it. In our friendships, in our disagreements, in our church communities, our Lord shows His love. According to 1 Corinthians 13, love is patient. It's slow to anger. That's loving. The Lord is this way, and yet, what do we deserve? Oh, there's more. Verse 9 shows more of the unsearchable greatness of the Lord. The Lord is good to all. All? I have to use that word again. And His mercy is over all that He has made. All too often, is it true that we are miserly in our goodness? The Lord is good to all. All too often, are we restrictive with compassion? The Lord's mercies are prodigal, They're prodigious. When others, is it possible that sometimes we'll look at others and when they finally confess their sins and repent, do we say, finally, what took them so long? When we look at what we consider to be someone else having done something to wrong us, do we hold out and wait, forgetting that our Heavenly Father is merciful and the sun shines and the rain falls? Our Lord is the prodigal father, ready for the return of the wandering child, the wandering son, ready to give that son, that daughter, a new robe and allow him to eat at the family table. Even though that son sinned, how long? How deeply? Against the Father. Charles Spurgeon said it so well. When men at last repent, they find pardon awaiting them. He continued, "Great is their sin and great is God's mercy." And finally he wrote, "For God is greatly good to the greatly guilty." And if we cannot praise him for that, we're damnably mute. The Lord is good to all. Even his fiercest enemies cannot deny this. The Lord allows sunshine and rain to both warm and wet them. He gives them food and drink and the ability to breathe and to reach and to embrace and to work and to create and to kiss. They are given strength to live, and sadly, tragically, many use that strength to utter falsehoods or slanders against the Lord. They use the gifts He has given to confirm them in their guilt. The late theologian Cornelius Van Til wrote this, "Christ upholds even those who ignore, deny, and oppose Him." He continued, "A little child may slap his father in the face, but it can do so only because the father holds it on his knee." Jim West was reflecting upon Cornelius Van Til's illustrations. And this is what Jim West wrote, reflecting upon Van Til's childhood, where that illustration first occurred. Once, while Van Til was a youth traveling on a train in Holland, he noticed a father with his young daughter sitting in his lap. Apparently, the father urged his daughter to do something when she suddenly slapped her father in the face. Van Til's application, which I just read to you, "The girl's behavior illustrates rebels who live in God's world and who are supported by God's common grace. They sit, as it were, on the lap of God. And it is precisely because they sit on God's lap that they are able to deliver the slap of ingratitude." There's our meditation today. As we work our way through the 145th Psalm, three final points. Our Lord's mercy is abundant. Our Lord's mercy is active. And then I have an assignment for each of you. Those are the three points with which we end. Let's begin. Our Lord's mercy to each of us is abundant. God is full of mercy. From the 86th Psalm, 86:15, "But you, O Lord, are a God full of compassion and gracious, long-suffering, and," hear this, "abundant in mercy and truth." It is true. Where your sins abound, great, God's grace does much more abound. And where you are flat out unaware of your sins, Our Lord's mercies are profound. This is another way of saying that there is plenty, that the Lord will not run out of mercy. Psalm 108, verse 4. For your mercy is great above the heavens, and your truth reaches to the clouds. The biblically shaped mind looks to the clouds and is reminded of the Lord's mercies, looks to the heavens and is reminded of our Lord's greatness. By the way, it has been said that grace is unmerited favor or ill-deserved favor or giving us what we do not deserve. It's been said. Mercy has been presented as different than this. There is a nuanced difference. If grace is giving us what we do not deserve, it has been said that mercy is not giving us what we do deserve. God is slow to anger. Now, that's partially true, that mercy is God not giving us what we do deserve, and that our mercy giving to one another is not giving others what they may deserve. That's partially true, biblically speaking, but the Bible has a larger picture of mercy. It is true that in His mercy, God does not give us what we and our sins deserve. But the full biblical picture of God's mercy is this. Mercy does not just not do or not give. Mercy is also active. Mercy, so our first point is mercy is abundant. There's plenty. The second point is that mercy is also active. Mercy is engaged. Mercy isn't just sitting there. God's mercy is not stale or stagnant. Mercy is not some idea or some quality. What good is mercy if it just sits there on the shelf, or perhaps it's just located somewhere in God's mind? The Lord's mercy is active. It engages and it performs and it does things. God's mercy upholds us in the midst of our constant fallings and failings. Psalm 94, verses 17 through 19. Unless the Lord had been my help. Who's active, by the way? Unless the Lord had been my help, my soul would soon have settled in silence. If I say, my foot slips, your mercy, O Lord, will hold me up. Note the active nature of mercy. In the multitude of my anxieties within me, your comforts delight my soul. So there, God's mercy is abundant and God's mercy is active, and now we conclude with this, an assignment. I call upon each of you to declare the praise of our great God and King by reflecting upon and speaking upon His mercies. How have the Lord's mercies been seen to you? Seen upon you, seen for you. Today at your meal, or perhaps in your time together with one another, reflect upon the Lord's mercies. How has the Lord been slow to anger? Praise the Lord for His being slow to anger, and give honorable testimony, discreet testimony of how the Lord has been ready to uphold you, to be available for you when you know you do not deserve it. There. The Lord is gracious and full of mercy, slow to anger and great in loving kindness. The Lord is good to all, and His tender mercies are over all His works. Abundant, active, and an assignment. May the Lord bless each of us in His ways, and give us eyes to see and ears to hear. In the name of God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, amen.